As humans, we like to leave our inscription on the landscape.
That's Dr. Allison Krogel. When she's not teaching about the cultures of the Andes at the University of Denver, she's out scouring the Rockies for
arbor glyphs or aspen carvings.
An arbor glyph is what it sounds like. Arbor as in tree, and glyph as in symbol or picture. Dr. Krogel seeks out, documents, and studies the writing and drawings left on aspen trees in the Rockies by sheep herders.
The herder will carve on the tree that maybe their father carved on 20 years prior.
In more recent times, many of the herders come from Peru, but in previous decades, many also came from Greece, Scotland, and the Basque region of southern Europe.
The oldest arbor glyph that I have found was from 1925.
So far, Dr. K has documented over 300 arbor glyphs in Colorado alone, but you can find sheep herder carvings all over the Mountain West.
When I talk to the Peruvian sheep herders, they have seen carvings from decades before they worked there, so they already see that this is a genre of marking the landscape.
On this episode of That Doesn't Happen Every Day, in which we interview everyday people about things that don't normally happen every day, we interview Dr. Krogel to find out what people choose to write or draw when they have a forest full of aspen trees and a lot of time on their hands.
Some of the glyphs are just commenting on the weather. There's someone named Larry Torres in northwestern Colorado. So he has several that say, raining like hell. There's one glyph that is the only arbor glyph I've ever seen in 20 years of looking at arbor glyphs that actually mentions the time of day. And it says 9:30 in the morning, a bear passed 200 feet from here and then has an arrow. And so I loved the idea that you can be walking through the forest and find a glyph. You know, 90-some years ago at 9:30 in the morning, the herder was concerned about the fact that there was a bear wandering around the sheep camps.
Dr. K talks about the most common type of arbor glyph across the different cultures of sheep herders.
The herders tend to put first name, last name, hometown, and the date that they passed. And usually, specifically, the day, the month, and the year, which I think is so interesting because it's sort of such a solitary and difficult labor that I think it's interesting that in a place where not many folks might be paying attention to your work, you're marking your presence in the landscape. Another theme or genre is definitely religion. There are lots and lots of religious iconography, crosses, even images of churches, and then just general reminders that God is watching over the herder, or that God loves the herder, Dios te ama, or Dios me ama, God loves me, God loves you, Dios es amor, God is love, plus sort of like a illuminated cross is another common message.
Many of the herders do come from places where religion and religious iconography are a big part of their cultures. However, I also wonder if, in addition to being far from home and maybe lonely, if sheep herders also invoke God on the trees, because agriculture still remains a fairly dangerous job in which you work with lots of animals that can throw you or kick you in places where lightning strikes and bears and snakes roam, all very far from medical help. A recent article from USA Today even says that agriculture remains in one of the top three most dangerous professions in the U.S.
The reason that you're always going to find the carvings on aspen trees is because it's a wound on the tree, and so it's expanding with time, and a skilled carver is going to make a very fine line, and you're kind of carving for the future. In the present, it's almost like invisible ink. You know, it might be 100 years of growth of the tree and expansion of that particular wound so that you're going to see a darker line.
Despite the difficulty of working on a curved, uneven surface that is ever expanding and warping the shape of what a carver draws or writes, Dr. K focuses on the quality of a particular carving that is also the icon for today's show of a woman in a dress.
Clearly the knife has been turned in a way to make part of the woman's dress move. So the person has a real artistic sense of how to make fabric look like it's flowing. Another very large sort of genre would be aspen erotica. And we have some selection of aspen erotica. Some of it is very artistic and very, I mean, it's still aspen erotica, but it's sort of beautiful celebration of the female form, really. Sometimes it becomes like a bathroom stall situation where a herder comes in later and puts a name on a female body that has been carved on a tree. But you can tell from the way that it's engraved that it's not the same person who created the initial image. I've never seen Aspen erotica signed, ever.
One of the arbor glyphs Dr. Krogel documented touches on another reality of being a sheep herder.
Imagine working with one particular colleague who you may or may not choose for months at a time, living in very tight quarters, you know, a sheep wagon or perhaps a canvas tent, and sharing food. And it's a dangerous job as well. So you want to be able to trust the person that you're working with. So you can see why there would be inscriptions on the trees when a particularly valued colleague returns home.
She shares a Spanish language arbor glyph dedicated to one of the herders after he left.
Qué triste es andar por estos lares sin Camilo Porta. The translation was something along the lines of how sad it is to walk around these parts without Camilo Porta. So that's the name of his friend. The carver, the sheep herder, is choosing verbs in Spanish that are more poetic, andar. I do know that there's a very beautiful tradition in Latin America and other countries as well of having school-aged children memorizing poetry and presenting it in front of the class. So it is possible that some of these word choices that are very elegant would have been studied in class. The longer the message and the more specific the message, oftentimes those are unsigned.
It should be noted that just like with any graffiti, not all the messages about other people on the aspens are nice. One inscription says, "Long live liberty and death to the lazy scumbag." Another says, "I'm leaving because I want to, and you are staying because you are a..." I'll let you fill in the blank. I honestly wonder if in those remote mountains, sometimes the aspen trees ever served as a canvas and as a therapist for any problems herders might have been having. Dr. K touches on that as well when she compares sheep herder carvings to the more casual graffitis of hikers and mountain bikers.
For me personally, there's such a difference between a group of folks who don't really have another space for expression, personal expression, cultural expression, community expression, or even messages between groups. Sometimes an arbor glyph is pointing out water. You know, it will just say water or agua and have a flecha, have an arrow towards a water source. So sometimes it's very practical information. So that seems to me quite different than folks hiking and just putting, you know, AK loves HR or something.
I think my favorite arbor glyph, and one that seems the most out of place in the Rockies, says in Spanish, Inca Cola, what a flavor. I looked up Inca Cola. It's a soda from Peru, primarily made of lemongrass, and according to Forbes magazine, tastes like bubblegum. While a slogan for a South American soft drink is a little out of place, Dr. K has a whole area of her arborglyph website dedicated to messages that are honestly kind of strange or hard to understand. She even asked visitors to share what they might know. Here's an example of a confusing one.
It was written in English. And it said, "Attention Eisenhower, I heard sheep here in December 18, 1925 and in December 25, 1930, Christmas Day with Antonio Baco Camp 10. That was in English.
I can't find any towns in the Rockies named Eisenhower, and Dwight D. Eisenhower didn't seem to be very famous as a general or president until well after the dates of these carvings. It's also a strange carving because it references December, while most herders left the mountains in the fall and wintered in lower places.
But that's one of the mystery ones. The only politically sort of charged message that I have seen, although I know that they definitely exist in other states, was a glyph that was also in Rauch County, Colorado, and it was dated September 8th, 1994. And it said, "Su amigo el mero mero, queridos hermanos compatriotas, demos la carne roja y blanca siempre defendiendo nuestra patria." My dear compatriot friends, let us give our red and white flesh, always defending our homeland. Yeah, so that's a reference to the Peruvian flag. And all of the herders in the United States throughout the 1980s and in the early 90s who were coming from central Peru would have had family members affected by the Shining Path struggle.
The Shining Path was a pro-communist rebel group that began fighting in Peru in the 1980s. Between 60 and 70,000 people died or disappeared during the ensuing violence carried out by the different factions involved.
It's unclear from the message itself what side of the conflict, you know, the herder would have been on. But in any case, nobody had cell phones, and communication with home country would have been very difficult. So, you know, the sheep herders wouldn't have had messages from home and known how things were going for their family during this time period.
I asked Dr. Kay why she does what she does.
Some of the most memorable moments that I've had with arborglyphs would be, for example, when I have just spent the day walking up to a highland pasture and I've seen a particular last name or a particular hometown in Peru, and then we meet a herder who's by himself, and you know, he tells me his name and he's happy to talk to me, and his last name is the same as many of the last names that I've just seen. And I'll say, look, and I'll show him, you know, my pictures, because I've taken pictures of them, you know, do you know this family, because they have the same last name? And oh yeah, that's my uncle, he worked here, you know, in the 1980s or whatever. You know, it's a small world sort of sensation, but it's unbelievable sometimes the sense of awe.
Dr. Kay shares something very somber about what it's like walking through the arborglyphs.
You could also sort of recall the feeling that you get when you walk through a cemetery, because, you know, these are folks in many cases who have passed. They aren't with us anymore. And we're offered their name and the date and the time period. Since aspen trees don't tend to live much more than 100 years, when the tree dies, the glyph disappears.
It depresses me to think that we'll lose this part of our history in the West. Even though Dr. Krogel is trying to make sure everything is photographed, looking at the arborglyphs on a website still won't be like when you happen upon them in an aspen grove and feel the cold wind and hear it blowing through the trees around you, just like the herder did when he made it. Dr. Krogel leaves us with an interview she did with a Peruvian sheep herder on the feeling he got from the arborglyphs.
He says, in my home region, I know the name of every footpath, every sacred mountain, every hill and lake, and every name tells a story. In these foreign forests, there is much to remember so that I don't lose my route or miss a stream for the sheep, but these names are empty for me, perhaps, as my name is empty for them. Yet as I walk through the trees, I read the names of so many of my brother herders who have come before me, and I know many of their names and their families and their hometowns. This gives me the strength to walk on. Sometimes I also carve my own name and the date on a tree so that those who come after me will also find their way.
I wanted to thank Dr. Allison Krogel for being on the show today. I also want to thank Mark Chapman for letting us use his photograph for the graphic. I hope all listeners will visit the webpage theaspenarchives.org to see some of the photographs and learn more about the work that Dr. Krogel and others are doing to document and share arborglyphs. This episode of That Doesn't Happen Every Day was brought to you by Inca Kola. What a flavor. Nah, I'm kidding. It's not brought to you by Inca Kola or anybody else. I still don't have a sponsor. If you would like me to read a commercial for you on my show, please contact Dean Arthur Peterson, P-E-T-E-R-S-E-N, at Gmail, and I would be happy to make a commercial for you or read one you've already prepared for a small fee. I wanted to thank KHOL in Jackson, Wyoming for playing the show. They told me it should play every Thursday at 3:30 p.m. if you want to tune in and listen to it there. Or if you'd like to listen to the show online, do a search for That Doesn't Happen Every Day. In this case, every day is two words, and you should be able to listen to every episode I've ever made completely for free on your podcast player. If you're enjoying it, please share it with a friend. Thank you for listening. I hope to have a new show to you in about 2 weeks.